So I just want to encourage everybody to trust themselves and listen to that guiding inner voice and learn to live by it every day, because magic is out there, and the more you use it, the more you're going to find it.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and really excited to welcome back to the show, Kim Chesney. If you didn't hear my first interview with Kim, this was all the way back, episode 194, where we talked about her book, Radical Intuition. She's here with us today to talk about her newest book, The Illumination Code, which is available everywhere tomorrow. As the founder of the Intuition Lab and the Create Festival, her work raises awareness about the importance of insight into the evolution of individual and world consciousness. Talking to my heart for sure. Working for nearly 20 years in the tech sector, Kim has led initiatives with some of the top thought leaders, technology companies, and universities in the world. I loved our first conversation so much. Can't wait for today's. Kim, welcome back to the Daily Helping. It is awesome to have you with us again.
It's so great to be here, Dr. Richard. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking a little bit. When we did our first one, it was right smack in the middle of the pandemic, and there was all this uncertainty in the world. I guess there's uncertainty in the world. There always is, and it's a little bit different. But so I want to jump into this, because your work has always fascinated me, because you're kind of at this sweet spot of where science and some more of Eastern-y kind of thinking kind of converge. And so talk to us about why this book, why The Illumination Code? What led you to that?
Yes. And this is a question I'm getting a lot now, because this is such a really a unique idea, the Illumination Code. What is that? Right? What is this mystery? But the story really began right around the time we talked last, when Radical Intuition came out and people started to read that book and really experience the power of intuition in their own life in very practical ways, but also very real ways. And the number one question I kept getting is, well, okay, so now we understand this is working, but how does it work? Like, what's really happening inside me? How is it possible for me to be connected with someone when I'm in a different place from them? Or how is it possible for me to know something about the future when it hasn't happened yet? So we've all had these little experiences of intuition that show us this sort of magic that's behind the universe. But the big question is, how is it actually working? So I set out with that question in mind to explore the recent developments in science since the quantum revolution, to really understand, you know, what's going on behind the world that makes intuition possible. It's not necessarily spirits whispering in our ears or some sort of magical phenomenon. Intuition is very much a part of our wiring and our natural ability. We were made for it.
So I want to step back. You said a word, I wrote it down, quantum revolution. You know, we hear things kind of in the zeitgeist now about quantum physics, quantum computing, quantum this, quantum that. So let's do quantum 101. What are we talking about here?
Yes. So so the quantum revolution really began, I mean, at its inception 100, 200 years ago. It's been happening since we started to discover this wonderful microcosmic world that, you know, 500 years ago, we never knew existed. We lived in this sort of linear materialistic world where you drop an apple and it hits the ground. Right. So when things like intuitive experiences would happen to people back in those times, there was no rational, scientific way to explain it. That is why it got relegated to the occult, supernatural, words like mysticism, things that are like, oh, the stuff that we don't understand, right? Metaphysical, the stuff that, well, it's not probably not real. It's some figment of our imagination, right? So it really got swept under the rug during really the materialistic eras and that the age of intelligence that we're in now, where we're very much a thinking mind based culture. So during this time, this quantum revolution, when everything changed, just when quantum physics came out and people started to understand that it was a real part of life and that these real magical sort of things happen at a quantum level, that the subatomic world is completely different than the world that we live in and that we experience. So, you know, as time goes on, fast forward to now when we start talking about intuition more. This is over the last 20 years, intuition has come to the forefront. People have started to realize that there's actually something here. Intuition isn't just some woo-woo thing that is just for women or that we just made up. No, it's actually part of our wiring. So when we look at this through the quantum lens, we can start to see that when we think with our intuition, we're actually thinking in a way that's quantum, which is working at that subatomic level and in the microcosm instead of the sort of macrocosm everyday reality that we're used to.
So as you're talking to me, I'm thinking about Oppenheimer and I'm thinking about, you know, Einstein writing the numbers on the board and the formulas and the equations. But it's interesting, right? Because that I think most people can wrap their mind around, right? We have the atom, it's a subatomic structure. If we split it, we can create a reaction and there's big explosions and all sorts of things that happen. But what you're saying, and it's interesting too, because you're talking about this kind of subnetwork, right? And an atomic level that's a form of consciousness. And we talked a little bit before we hit the record button here, you know, Carl Jung in the 1960s yes. was talking about cosmic consciousness, but he was obviously a psychologist. He had no background in quantum physics, and yet they're very connected, right?
Absolutely. And there are many physicists now who are taking up that banner where this idea of quantum consciousness had its inception in decades earlier. Really trying to prove that. Irvin Laszlo is one of them. He was a Nobel Prize nominated scientist who wrote a book called Science in the Akashic Field, talking about how there is an invisible field, a quantum field that connects all of us that makes things like intuition possible. So of course, that was really inspiring to me. So understanding that, you know, it's not even just about the atom, it's what's smaller than the atom, it's what is the universe made of. So if we get down to it, these atoms, these particles, these quarks, and you go down to bosons and you get smaller and smaller, ultimately we find that we get to this place where we realize that the fundamental building block of the universe isn't matter. We think it's matter because it's what we see everything made of, but matter is mostly empty, as Carl Sagan said, and matter is consisted of all of these tiny, tiny little things that we can't see that are ultimately energy, as Einstein showed us in E equals mc squared. But even below that, the universe is made of information. So we're finding out that this information, like a program almost, this whole universe, these building blocks, it makes so much sense when you understand this idea of quantum consciousness and the idea that intuition, which reads information from that quantum level, is the key to accessing all of that.
So this is a very, very cool way to segue into the book itself. So talk to us about, and I love it's called The Illumination Pit. So first, before we even talk about the particulars of the book, tell us about the title.
Yes. So the title kind of came to me in a moment of illumination when I was working on the book. And, you know, we talk a lot about our inner light and our inner wisdom. We use words like that when we're talking about our intuition. And when we started to look at this idea of that there's a non-local field around us, and what that means is everything exists everywhere at all times. So in this field that is within us and around us, it holds all the information of the universe. And our intuition can access that. A regular thinking mind or cause and effect mind, rational mind, can't access that. It's not wired for that, but our intuition is. So when you start to understand that that on a very deep level, in this deep dimension, there are these codes, these cosmic universal codes that are the building blocks of all the universe all around us, recording the memory of the universe, recording everything that's happened, creating everything that is. So you begin to understand that that field is filled with an illuminating code that can guide us, that can teach us, that can give us the information we need to live our life. So that's where the illumination code comes from. It's what our intuition reads. It's how our inner guidance is fueled. And it's what connects us to the deepest part of ourselves and existence.
All right. So I'm intrigued. So you're telling us that there is this code that exists at this subatomic level that our intuitive selves are wired to access and interpret. So talk to us. Tell us about the code. What's it? Well, we know what it's made out of. It's the subatomic particles, right? Or even below those, right? You said quarks and bosons, and I don't know if these are words you're actually making up or they're real. But they're real. I know they are. I'm just teasing. But let's talk about it. So what? How does one access this code? Let's just start there because this is such a cool conversation.
Yeah. And one of the things I love where Irwin Laszlo referred to the field around us, this invisible field of illumination, as being a sea full of energy, information, and light. So light carries information, right? So that's another really beautiful thing. You look at fiber optic cables. So we see analogies of this in our own world, how information, the internet has taught us a lot about this. So think about this. 100 years ago, people talk about things like the Akashic records and the Akashic field, and that sounded like really, really woo-woo stuff. There's some compendium somewhere with a bunch of books with all of our histories written in it. That didn't really make any sense when we thought about it scientifically, but now we understand that there is kind of an Akashic record out there in this field that records everything and houses all the information of everything that's happening. So all of that stuff is stored on this really beautiful level of, wavelengths of information, energy, light, and that it's read through heart resonance. It's read through our inner knowing, our four pathways of intuition that I talk about in radical intuition, body, mind, heart, and spirit. All of them have sensors to read that code in our own unique way. With our bodies, we can sense it. Like when there's something like, bad happening and you get the chills, right? And your body's reading that energy. That's that code that's out there, that other stuff that's happening, and you're getting a physical response. Same with your inner guidance. If you suddenly know, I just know I should take this job. Or like we talked about earlier, like I know I'm going to heal. I just have a knowing that this is going to happen. The part of you that knows everything, right? So that's a big term in this book, is that there is a part of you that knows everything. And we need to accept that. We have this intuitive dimension of ourselves that has access to all the information, past and future. So sometimes we know things, even if they haven't happened yet, because we can read that code that's already recorded in some level of the deep dimension around us. And the same with our heart. Our heart, we can feel things, and we have that sort of heart resonance when something just feels right, right? So there's all kinds of ways that we can read this code just using our natural senses that we're built with.
So I'm gonna even peel us back to a higher level for a second, because you talked about something and you just referenced it now about the non-linear nature of time, which sounds so counterintuitive to most people. You gave the analogy of an apple. I know if I drop an apple, it hits the ground. I know that we're recording this at 2:54 p.m. Eastern time, and when we're done, it's going to be sometime thereafter per the little clock on my computer. And yet, science is now able to tell us the apple already fell. And the apple is going to fall.
And the apple is falling right now.
And the apple is falling right now. And so before we even go further into the code, because I think this will really help frame this beautifully, talk to us a little bit about what the science is actually telling us about time. Because we're taught, right? Daylight savings time, the clock, right? Like we're so used to, obviously, we're in a very linear world. So talk to us about the science of the non-linear nature of time.
Yeah, I mean, we're really acclimated to living in time, right? And that's sort of in this individual consciousness. And when Einstein, you know, talked about his theory of relativity, it's just the beginning of this understanding that everything is relative to our own position in space and time. So we have a concept of before and after because we're living in this sort of linear time that is part of the material world. And we're so used to that, we can't really conceive of what it's like to be timeless and eternal. But when we sort of, it really kind of starts to blow your mind when you think about it. But when we really start to look past the sort of boundaries of the three-dimensional world and the time that we're used to, we can understand through contemporary physics that while everything is happening in the eternal now. So if we look at that as we move into the present, the past is happening, the future is happening, this moment is happening eternally on some level. But the big thing that it becomes a sticking point with people is like, oh, does that mean that it's predestined? Does that mean I'm just going to do this one thing? And this is where it gets really interesting, because the answer is no, because not only is there really no such thing as time, like time is only an illusion of living in a world of material objects and separation. But when we look at things from a unified perspective, there is no time. Everything exists and is. But the thing is, there's not just one course. There's a thing called alternate realities and the multiverse.
Oh my God, we're going to the multiverse. Choices.
We're doing it. We're going there, because I can't say it, because then people are like, I don't believe in this because I don't believe my fate is determined. It's not. We do have free will and we have the ability to choose and create our own beautiful life. But there's different versions of it that we could create.
So interdimensionality is well outside of my scope of practice and training. But again, I know that these are things that people like Einstein have been talking about for 100 years. Yeah. And only now our technology has evolved to a point where we're actually able to kind of prove some of this stuff, which is really mm-hmm. wild. So I know we talked a little bit about this before. I think you mentioned it very briefly as we were talking on air. I know there's 7 keys, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about these 7 keys to being able to access this code. Take us through those.
Well, I'll give you sort of a high level approach to understanding what the keys are. So when I started to kind of really unpack this concept, I wanted to create a book that was really interactive. So this isn't just a reading book. This is a doing book. I don't want you to take this from me. I want you to get out there and experience this for yourself. So I created the book with these 7 keys that have 7 labs. I created Intuition Lab. So I'm all about the idea of a lab, which is a place that you research and experiment and try new things. So I created these 7 different opportunities to experiment with your own intuition, your own quantum intelligence, and get these validations and see how this magic is happening in your own life. So there's over 30 different exercises in this book that help you to practice these things, try these things, things I've been using my whole life. Really, this has been all part of my journey. And then it's really been like 20-30 years in the making now, I guess. So this isn't anything that, you know, I just like cooked up. It's been a long time coming, and there's been a lot of research that's gone into this and a lot of work in Intuition Lab with my students and experimenting there. So it starts us on a journey of really opening up to this idea of the non-local field, and how do we experience it in our life? How do we experience the quantum world in the human psyche? You know, that's the big question going into it. And I recommend reading it linearly, because each key sort of unlocks a deeper dimension of this process. And then you can learn more about yourself and the universe the deeper you go. And, you know, it starts out with simple like self-discovery, getting some validation, seeing some cool magic of intuition. And then we go into those really deep things at the end, like interdimensionality and guiding forces, and what role do, all of these really profound mystical elements play in the process.
And that's what I think is so interesting, because, you know, you use the word mystical, and yet, you know, just to bring it back to something you said about 10 minutes ago, we used to call this stuff mysticism, but it really isn't. It's science.
Yeah.
It's science that, you know, we're really now as a society, I think, starting to awaken to. So thanks for that overview. That was really helpful. So in the time we have remaining, I know they're all your babies, so you love them all. I can't tell you to pick your favorite key, but pick a key that you're called to talk about right now. And let's dive into that one just a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think that, it's hard to tell because I think one of the most popular ones I can just tell you is the one that has to do with remote viewing. So the idea that a part of you knows everything. And I think, again, I've said that term because that's really something that hits home with readers is that there is a part of me that knows these things. So one of the practices that are in this key is the concept of remote viewing. So we talked about the idea that there's no real such thing as time and that we can see beyond time and know the future and know things from our past or whatever, but it's the same with space. And this is what people don't realize is that it's possible to know what's happening in other places. It's possible to see things in other places. And if you don't believe me, go look at the government research projects, Project Stargate, all the actually global.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of declassified CIA documents where they actually had a program. In fact, there was a really funny movie. I think it was called Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yep.
Was that with George Clooney, if I'm not mistaken? And you know, that was a parody of this project, but our government has had a technique that they could train operatives in since, I think, the 1940s or 50s. You tell me.
I think it was a little later.
Was it later than that?
But I think it was the 60s, but I could be wrong.
But they basically, but they were training people to be able to access this field, this quantum intelligence you're talking about. And they would spy on the Russians or, you know, look at Mars or all these wild things. So it is something that's been around. And I'm interested to hear how you've taken remote viewing and applied this as a skill that people can use in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, because the reality was with all those projects is that they worked, and we know they worked because they did them for 20 years and spent like $20 million on them. So, and there's a lot of great people like Russell Targ, and a lot of those people were still worked on those projects that are out there teaching these things. But for the work that we did in Intuition Lab, we started experimenting with it because it's really one of the most simple ways to get validation of your quantum intelligence. So I've done a lot of remote viewing projects with people over the year. And the thing is, it's so easy. It's one of the easiest things. Anybody can do it. The people that they chose for the Project Stargate and the similar projects around that were a lot of times they were artists. So most of them weren't self-proclaimed psychics, right? They were people who were just naturally intuitive. And pretty much anyone could really do it if you teach them how to do it. So it's really a matter of opening up your mind and learning to think with that intuitive side and trust yourself. And when you see that you were able to get validations or tap into little pieces, that's the thing with our intuition. A lot of times people discard it because they think, oh, I'm just going to have this perfect vision of everything as it is, the whole thing. But it's really, it's like, think of our intuition right now, since it's a little atrophied. We all haven't really learned how to use it. We're kind of still figuring it out. It's like having a really slow internet, you know, back in the old days when like little pieces would download at a time. That's kind of where we are with the intuition. So if you're remote viewing, you might see like a red cup and there happens to be a red cup sitting there. You might see a fountain and there happens to be a fountain there. But you're not going to see this entire grand vision of every single detail. I mean, unless you're a super psychic, right? So you have to start with the little things and then you get these little hits and gradually with time you open up and you can get more. And so there's all kinds of little practices you can do in your daily life. You can remote view a place before you get there. Oh, just tune into it. What's it going to be? What am I going to see? Is there music playing? And then you get there and you get these hits and it's like, okay, that's really cool. Like, how did I know that? Right. So there's a lot of fun you can have with it. And that's really the big idea behind this book is that it's very personal. It's very simple. It's very fun. Like, you can make this stuff a really exciting part of your life too. It's not just something that has to be super, super serious.
I never in a million years would have thought we would have an episode where we're talking about multiverses and remote viewing and men who stared at goats. So this is the most out there episode we've ever done.
Yes,
I love it. Yeah, but it is important because I think anyone who's listening to this will say, you know, I've had a time in my life where I just had this feeling in the pit of my stomach or the hair on the back of my neck stood up, you know, like it's spider sense, right?
Yes.
And you've basically boiled down to in a book that somebody can pick up and apply these basic principles to their lives. And you're grounding it in science. It's science that many people aren't familiar with and really have to take their time to wrap their mind around. But it's rooted in things that that people far smarter than you or I have really been working on for 100 years, as you said. Yeah. So very
that
cool.
That was sort of my intention with this, is to take, to work, you know, I worked with some of these people, talked with them, learned from them, and take their really, really advanced scientific knowledge and distill it into something that everyday people like you and me can wrap our brains around and then use it and see it activating in our lives every day.
Yeah, this is great stuff. We definitely pulled the genie out of a bottle with this one. I don't know if we can ever put it back, but this was
too late.
Yeah, it is. But this was awesome. Kim, our time together flew by just like last time. I knew that it would. Question to ask of you. The question, as you know, I ask every guest who comes on my show, and you got to give me a different answer than you did back when we first talked.
I hope.
Give us your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today.
You know, for me, I think that's really understanding that your intuition is really this master key to your life that can unlock this world of magic and wonder that we've all forgotten about. We walk around every day like we understand this world, but we really live in this world of mystery where anything's possible, and we have this huge potential that's within us that's still untapped. So I just want to encourage everybody to trust themselves and listen to that guiding inner voice and learn to live by it every day, because magic is out there, and the more you use it, the more you're going to find it.
Magic is out there. I love it. Book is available everywhere where books are sold. Kim, tell us where people can learn more about you online.
Yeah, you can visit my website, kimchesney.com, and I actually have a free insight card deck that you can play with. It's online, so you can practice using your intuition, asking yourself a question right now, getting some insight. And you can also visit me at intuition-lab.com to find out about my workshops and courses, and if you want to practice your intuition live with me.
Awesome. And we're going to have links to everything Kim Chesney in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Kim, this was great. I intuitively knew we were going to have a great conversation. So
me too.
Thanks for being with us again. It was terrific.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to also thank each and every one of you who took time out of your busy day to listen to our conversation. If your mind is blown, if you're excited, if you're going to go get this book, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag My Daily Helping, because the happiest people are those that help others.